The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
My name is Jennifer Powell. I am a columnist with Multiple Sclerosis News Today. Today, I will be discussing how early use of high-efficacy DMTs favor lesser disability over time. Long-term disability outcomes tend to be better in people with relapsing-remitting multiple sclerosis who are treated early on with high effective therapies, a study based on patient registry data indicates. The study, Long-Term Disability Trajectories in Relapsing Multiple Sclerosis Patients Treated with Early Intensive or Escalation Treatment Strategies, was published in Therapeutic Advances in Neurological Disorders. The MS treatment landscape has changed substantially in the past few decades, with many highly effective medicines being approved. Broadly, these therapies can be divided into moderate efficacy medications that are comparatively safe and high efficacy medicines with more complex safety profiles. This has posed a conundrum for clinicians. Is it better to start patients on safer, lower efficacy meds and then move to a more potent medication only if needed, called the escalation strategy or ESC? Or is it better to start with high potency medications right away, called early intensive treatment or EIT? A team of researchers in Italy analyzed data collected in November 2019 from a national register covering 2,702 relapsing remitting MS patients at 62 Italian MS centers. All were new to treatment and within 13 months of disease onset. Early intensive treatment was given to 365 patients, while the remaining 2,337 were placed on an escalation strategy. Specific medications used in the EIT group were Tysabri, Norvitrone, Fingolimod, Mavenclad, Lemtrada, and Ocrevus. They are also considered high-potency medications, but none of the EIT patients were treated with these medications. Patients in the escalation group received a moderate efficacy treatment, such as interferon beta, sold as Avonex and other brands, Vladimir acetate, sold as Copaxone, for at least 1 year before escalating to a higher potency therapy. This transition occurred after a median of 6.3 years. Researchers used statistical models to compare changes in disability, as assessed with the Expanded Disability Status Scale, in the two groups. The EDSS is a numeric scale from 0 to 10, in which higher numbers indicate more severe disability. EDSS assesses disability according to impairment in functional systems, which are brain networks responsible for particular tasks. Of note, the statistical models used accounted for differences between the ESC and the EIT group in terms of factors like initial age and disability. The change in EDSS was significantly smaller among EIT compared with ESC patients at all time points up to 10 years. In other words, those on early intensive treatment tended to have less disability accumulation over time. The difference between the groups also increased as time went on. After 1 year, the difference in Delta EDSS was 0.1. By 5 years, it was 0.3. By 8, it was 0.64. And by 10 years, it was 0.67. To put that into perspective, at treatment initiation, the average EDSS score in both groups was about 2.5, which indicates either mild disability in one functional system or minimal disability in two functional systems. By year 10, the average score among the EIT patients was 3.07. A score of 3.0 on the EDSS represents moderate disability in one functional system or mild disability in 3 to 4 functional systems with no impairment to walking. At the same time point, the average score for ESC patients was 3.81. A score of 4.0 on the EDSS represents significant disability while still being self-sufficient and is the lowest EDSS score at which patients experience some difficulty walking. The results of our real-world study indicate that the long-term disability trajectories are more favorable with an EIT strategy than with moderate efficacy DMTs, followed by escalation to high efficacy DMTs. More research in this area is needed, the researchers noted. In particular, they stressed the need for further research into safety risks with the EIT approach, since the concerns of severe adverse events of the higher efficacy DMTs are remarkable. Nonetheless, these findings may drive the treatment decisions of physicians, in particular in the cases of naive patients with poor prognosis factors at the onset of disease, they concluded.
Coming up next, perspectives from MS News Today columnist Jesse Ace.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading the column by Jesse Ace, Disabled to Enabled, focusing on what I can do rather than what I can't. This year, I've been acutely aware that my body isn't perfect. Sometimes it doesn't move well. Sometimes it cuts off sensation in my limbs without notice. Sometimes it gets wiped out from fatigue. Sometimes it's like MS shakes up my head so hard, like a can of soda, that I blurt out words in the wrong place, in the wrong order, and at the wrong time. This is my version of living with multiple sclerosis. Occasionally, my limbs start falling out with each other, like squabbling siblings. One leg twitches while the other tingles. One hand is weak while the other brags strength. And the next minute, it all changes. I've accepted that I can't win, so instead, I choose to be happy with what I have. Despite all these annoyances, I appreciate what my body can still do. I know anything can happen at any moment, and things can always get worse unexpectedly. I could either worry constantly or handle things one day at a time, so I'm adjusting to my new normal as I go. Before MS, I used to worry about so many things that I now realize don't matter, such as what people will think of my new haircut. In reality, it doesn't matter. Illness has given me a completely different understanding of life, and I've learned to let go of the reins. I've done a lot of hard work on myself, and it took a lot to get to this stage of compassion. I'm always focused on what I can do rather than what I can't do. Don't get me wrong, MS makes things challenging at times. Yes, my left hip is still weak from a previous flare, Yes, it pains me to say I still can't run after my last relapse, but I'm getting stronger every day. The heat turns my brain into sludge, and it's hard to concentrate. Yes, it's hot today, which automatically means I'm exhausted. I've learned things will go wrong with multiple sclerosis, but it's how we perceive these events that affects our overall sanity. You may remember my recent experience looking after a dog while my leg didn't work. I could have given up then and there. Instead, I chose to find a way around it. This year, my MS journey hasn't been easy, but it's taught me a lot. I choose to see it as the wake-up call I need to manage my stress better, eat better, exercise more, take time to rest, and do more of what I enjoy in life. Living with MS requires internal strength, courage, and resilience. I didn't have much of those qualities when I was diagnosed. I had to develop them along the way. This helped me to survive difficult times and appreciate good times. As long as we're doing everything in our power to live well, with what we have, that's enough. MS is different for everyone, and we all have various symptoms, relapses, and experiences. It's up to us how to perceive this illness.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.